As the U.S. men's national team takes center stage at a home World Cup, make sure you're listening to Call It What You Want, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can join me, I'm Jimmy Conrad, alongside Charlie Davies, Tony Miola, Marcelo Balboa, and Benny Feilhaber throughout this tournament for previews, instant reactions, and analysis of every U.S. match. Then all summer, we're back every Tuesday and Thursday, covering all things U.S. men's national team. Download and follow Call It What You Want on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Dirt and Sprague.
And it's lined into center, a base hit to lead off the top of the ninth inning. The first hit of the ball game for the Giants. An incredible performance for Dylan Cease here today.
Andy Dirt Johnson, Brandon Sprague.
High fly ball in the air, right center field. This one back, it's got a chance, and it's gone! PCA the second time tonight, and it's given the Cubs a 4-3 advantage, number 21.
Dirt and Sprague on the Fan Sports Network.
All right, 6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland's sports leader, 105.1 The Fan and the Fan Sports Network. Hello, good morning.
What is happening? Happy Thursday, everybody. What's going on?
Not much.
Not much. Feeling good today?
I'm feeling good.
Yeah. Feeling good, yeah.
Woke up feeling good.
Got good sleep last night.
I have a current 4-day streak now of waking up with a bloody nose.
That's not good. What's the deal with that? Ooh. Is that a warm weather thing?
Well, the first two I thought were because we hadn't put our AC really up on a very low temperature.
Sure, you're just kind of keeping it middle.
But 2 days ago, we put it down into the 60s, and I was like, oh, this feels good.
This feels nice and delightful.
And it was like right as I woke up, instantly, and then today woke up, I was fine, and then as soon as I stood up, it started.
Seriously, just starts flowing out of the nose, huh?
Maybe I'm dying.
Need to get some nose tampons in there? Is that a thing? Can you plug that thing up? What do you do?
Well,
what's the strategy here? What's the thought process? You got blood all over your pillow every morning when you wake up? How much blood are we talking with a bloody nose?
Well, it's one of those, like, the first couple I woke up instinctually just knowing I was going to have a bloody nose.
Yes.
It wasn't on my pillow or anything.
Your pillow. You knew that it
pillow.
Was coming. My pillow was clean, but I knew once I got up and moved, I'm going to start bleeding.
Yeah. Okay. And then that
is
was...
Is it like your elbow when it's going to rain? You just get a feeling? You're like, uh-oh, watch out. Somebody give me a towel. It's coming.
Pretty confident it woke me up because it was going down my throat.
Oh, that's not good.
So I'm laying down.
I can imagine that's not.
Are you a back sleeper?
I'm kind of an everything sleeper.
Yeah, okay. You got to float around.
Stomach, side, back.
You do it all, baby.
Yeah, there's not
there's a tornado going on at times in the bed.
We don't discriminate against sleeping positions.
No.
Whatever it takes to get the job done is what it's going to take to get the job done.
I'm a very active sleeper, actually. Mm.
Okay.
A lot of movement.
A lot of movement. I used to sleepwalk a lot.
Yeah.
My wife said, God, I want to say it was 2 weeks ago, maybe three. She said I woke up. She was reading. It was like 11. She said I woke up, turned, looked at her, and went, oh, yeah. And I put my hand up for a high five. I have no idea why.
You have no recollection of this?
Do you remember the dream?
We don't know.
That's another thing. I'm pretty good at remembering most of my dreams.
But that one didn't stick?
There was never a moment in that day dreaming where I went, oh, yeah!
Where all of a sudden you were the two-way wing sticking a three for the Blazers.
I think he was the guy we need.
He was the guy we need.
We got our shooter!
Corner threes from Sprague!
Our shooter's in town! Come on, man! We got shooters in Sprague!
Is there anything worse that a white guy could do in a black sport where he's like, oh, yeah!
We got shooters. Let's go.
Don't leave me hanging.
Sprague's here. He's to save the day, man. He shot 38% from three last year, I heard, in his driveway. Exactly what we needed.
This happens.
I want to know what the dream is now. If you're waking up in the middle of the night,
you're
rolling over.
You're high-fiving the missus.
In the middle of the night. That's a good dream. I mean, that's.
See, the weird thing is.
I got follow-ups here.
I'm not awake.
I know. You're not awake.
You're living the dream.
Exactly.
You're literally living the dream.
You're having a great time doing whatever it is you're doing.
Don't mess with his reality.
In your REM sleep? Dude, I want to know what's going on there, man. Are we talking fantasies? Are we talking sports? Are we, you know, who's involved? Is there, you know.
Are we high-fiving during the kink?
That's what I'm asking. I don't know.
I think there's nothing I fear more than having one of the dreams you're hinting at.
Ah, yeah.
And then turning over as I'm asleep with
that
the
was
wife.
Great, Melissa. What? Oh. Who's Melissa?
Selma.
Selma, huh?
What?
Huh? Have you got any of those since coming back from Italy? Any Silvanos in the middle of the night?
No.
None of those? Okay, good. No. We're still clean. No, Silvano. Silvano. Huh? What was that? What are you talking about
that
over there?
That would be terrifying.
That would absolutely. That's everybody's worst nightmare, is it not?
Yeah.
The wrong name in the middle of the act is about as bad as you could get, but waking up with the dream using a bad name tells you that your
but
head's
like,
in a certain place.
Should you get in trouble for the dream?
No.
No, you would.
There might be.
You would?
Yeah, you
there
know
might
you
be
would.
An if uncomfortable up, discussion.
Yeah, I mean, you're not divorcing
you should
over
not
it,
be
but
punished for that.
You're going to be walking on eggshells for a couple of days. I'd say 36 hours. You give it 36 hours, she'll get over it, but there's going to be a bit of a gray area there.
I think the worst thing could be that you basically would be saying a name you both know.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because you can't explain your way
out
of it.
Yeah, if it's totally random.
Or Selma Hayek in your example, it's like, Selma Hayek, what are you going to do?
But like if there's a hot celebrity named Ashley.
Right.
But you know an Ashley.
I also know an Ashley. I got to explain.
You're going to be
No,
not her. And they're like, yeah, right.
Yeah, sure.
I've seen the way you linger.
Yeah.
What?
What? I see the way you look at her. What are you talking about?
Your sunglasses are always on when she's around.
One of those situations.
Hey, what's going on, guys? A little bright out here all of a sudden,
Yeah,
where did that come from? Well, I woke up yesterday at 2 o'clock in the morning with a kid vomiting in his crib for no reason, so that was fun.
Do you guys, like, are you ever healthy?
No. He's not sick either. I don't know what the deal is. We vomited 3 times in the last 3 days, and he's not sick.
Mm-hmm. Does he have reflux? Have you checked for reflux?
We have not checked for reflux. I don't know.
Because Pax,
I don't know.
Happened with Pax. He had colic and reflux. And
one I can explain away that I think he eats too fat, like he just consumes a lot, and then it's like a lot for the system, and then it's like a natural reaction of like, that's
not
too much.
Yeah.
We don't have that much space. That was one of them, I know. The other one might have been taking a bite of an egg white. He had never had a bite of an egg white before, so I don't know if that messed up. I have no idea.
He's never eaten like an over-easy egg?
I mean, I don't know. The way it was cooked, he's never had an egg white like that, I guess. Maybe it wasn't fully cooked. I don't know. That one was pretty small. The one in the middle of the night was totally out of left field. Just like, I got woken up at 2 o'clock in the morning. Hey, he just vomited. Okay. Let's go take care of this. Look at the watch. My alarm's going off in an hour. This is going to be fun.
Start the coffee now.
It's just might as well stay up at this point, because this ain't going to be a five-minute wake up and go back to bed. We got to
change
into the clothes.
Sheets. Somebody's got to give him a bath.
We got to clean everything off. It's a whole thing, man.
I think if I was to have active sleeping, I'd much rather, my wife with a high five than be throwing up.
Seems like a little bit more enjoyable time. Whatever you're doing, you're having a great time. Whatever I'm doing in that situation, not having a great time.
Yeah, if you throw up a certain amount of times, I don't know if I believe that
that you're not
sick.
There's nothing else happening.
No fever.
No fever, no mood changes, no runny nose.
No runny nose.
Literally no other symptoms.
I've had food poisoning
explosive
where all
diapers.
I've done is throw up.
But I feel like if it's 3 random throw-ups over 3 days, is that food? Is that
random? No. That's 3 straight
but
days
it's not,
throw up.
It very much, I would check for reflux.
It could be a reflux thing, We got a doctor's appointment coming up in a week, so we'll get him looked at. But there's nothing else going on. I'm not taking him in right now.
I'd probably swear on everything holy that your house is every week something is happening.
We're haunted over there, man.
You guys,
something's going on.
You used to defend how strong everything was in your system, and I feel like it's been the opposite.
Hey, he's vomiting. I ain't gotten sick yet. I'm still holding on strong. I'm going on about 5 weeks without being sick right now. It's a new world record for me
since having
a kid.
Let's not tempt
fate. Yeah, don't jinx it.
Here,
let's knock on wood a little bit. I'm on a good run right now. I'm feeling fantastic.
I was going to say, you've been sick like 3 times this calendar year so far.
Despite not sleeping a full night in about a year and a half. Other than that, I'm doing great, and I'm very eager to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning every day.
Hey, don't worry. It's all going to get better in about 7 months.
Yeah. Things are going to go smoothly. You know, I can't wait to start this clock all over again.
You know, the worst
who
thing...
Who doesn't want to sleep? Me! Let's do it again!
I think the worst part is that, you know who has to pay for this? It's me. Because he's not going to be a complete a-hole when he hears the Oregon Ducks disappointed by only winning by 3, because his wife won't say that. You know who will? Me.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to get my head bit off because he's on no sleep.
Yeah, you'll be the brunt of it.
So it's going to be an age-old, you're not mad at me, you're mad at your dad situation.
That's true.
How dare you criticize?
Spicy entertainment, though.
How dare you criticize my football team?
Bump those ratings.
Although I'll probably have the same takeaway. Why did they only win by 3? What is happening right now? We should have blown them out.
You'll be like, you know, in every metric, USC's actually top 8. So a 3-point win, It's against a top 10 team.
Oh, I don't care what they beat USC by as long as they win the game again. Point spread, be damn, that one doesn't bother me. Just go win the game.
I'm going to hold you to that when football season's here.
Hey, they're going to be a top 10 team.
I'm terrified of what's going to be happening when you come back from the second kid.
Oh, yeah, you're going to be terrified? Yeah, you're having a hard time with this one?
I am.
Yeah, waking up every 2 hours after like a week off and coming back to do a morning show? Yeah, I'm not terrified at all. It's going to be great. I'm so pumped to have a kid during football season. It's going to be great.
You got to tell me what your favorite...
The entire football season, too, by the way. It's not like, hey,
no,
it's coming in December, and
no,
it's the end of the football.
Isn't it?
And it's like a month, and they're like, all right, now football's over. It's like, we're talking late September, dude. I'm not even getting into conference play, maybe, before this thing comes.
Okay, you got to let us know what your favorite... we need to stock up on your favorite Celsius or coffee or whatever the hell.
Load them all up, man. Load them all up in the fridge.
We will stock the kitchen for you in the morning.
Should do one every hour of the show. It's going to be great, man. I can't wait.
I wish you'd just consider my feelings in all of this. A little bit more.
I'll text you when I wake up at 1 o'clock in the morning and then 3 o'clock in the morning and say, I'm thinking about you right now, Sprager. Thinking about you right now. You're grinding. Does your kid sleep till 10 a.m. on the weekends,
you
bastard?
What I'll do? If you send the text, I'll respond with the one hand emoji, and you'll know that's me going, oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. High five. I got it. Dude, talking to neighbors about their kids sleeping makes me so jealous. And I know I'll get there eventually, and I don't want to fast forward through some of the great memories and moments. But, like, seeing kids out around 4th of July, everybody's out having a good time late. You know, it's just weekend. My kids are out running around in the neighborhood till like, 9:30, 10. And I asked one of our neighbors, what time did your kids wake up today? He's like, oh, 10:15. Dude.
Yeah.
Dude. I would donate a month's salary if you just let me have like 3 days of that right now. If you give me 3 days of that.
Yeah, they're waking up when you get home from
just
the show.
When I get home, I'm like, hey, Dad, what's going on? All right, let's go do something. This sounds great.
All right, Cocoa Puffs for everybody.
I'm excited. I'm hungry anyways. I'm ready to eat breakfast when I get home, or maybe it's lunch. I would give a month's salary to have a week of that right now.
As somebody fully there, I can just tell you it's great.
It's just fantastic, I'd imagine.
You got a 14-year-old and you go, don't stay up. Too late, but yeah. I'm going to bed. See you later.
I'm going to bed.
They work their stuff out. They figure it out.
You wake up when you want to wake up. It's summertime, man.
Now, my youngest is more in line with me. She's just a natural early riser. Like, the latest she'll sleep in is 7, which is fine because you know what? She knows how to make a waffle. So she goes downstairs. She
self-sufficient. Makes a breakfast. Go make a breakfast.
She watches her little cartoons or whatever she's going to watch in the morning.
Turn on your tunes.
The problem is it's great being in the spot I'm in. While also you have these random parent moments of you watch the old video of the oldest when they were 2.
Yeah.
So you get emotional.
Then you get
like,
the sentiment.
I miss that version.
Yeah, man, they're fun.
And then
at times.
To snap you out of it, your wife comes in and goes, hey, you know the neighbor? And I go, oh, the one that largely doesn't talk to us? She goes, yeah, she just came up to me and told me she had a dream that I was pregnant. And I went, that statistically is not possible.
That's a different conversation.
Technically, Antonio Cromartie told us it is anything's possible, Kevin Garnett.
I was thinking, am I going to be Cromartie?
is this going to be a real dream
here?
It would be really funny if you ended up having a kid again after my last kid.
Not to me.
not to you, but to me, there would be a slight level of sadistic enjoyment that I would get out of that.
We might be at the Smishmortion Clinic.
I can't do this, man. I can't. I'm not doing this again. I'm not going down that road again. Dude, my brother has a friend.
Father, forgive me.
I mean, well, your dad was this way because he started over again super later after thinking
he was
done. Yes, he
had the reverse surgery.
Like, going to the place mentally where you think you're done. Because that's the one thing about number 2 that, like, every step we go through, we're not holding on to stuff. You're throwing stuff away. Like, when you get out of that stage, it's not going in a bin in case we have another one down the road. It's like,
you're like,
does anybody need this? Because we don't need it anymore. And that will be a very freeing feeling. To go from there, like, the last kid gets out of diapers. Mm-hmm. You think to yourself, I don't have to change diapers again.
Yeah.
Like, once you potty train number 2.
Sell the crib. Or
diapers
have...
Cribs are gone. Yes. Diapers are gone. And then to start it all over again, that would be a really hard mental mountain for me to climb.
Yeah, it'd be... I think it'd be devastating in many ways.
Kids are great, but that also sucks.
No. That was,
There's a lot of it that's
witnessing
not fun.
That up close, and then when I had marriage number 2, that was one of the very first
that was one of your deal breakers,
discussions that we had.
If we're doing this, It ain't happening.
Yeah. That one was on the table very early to know if.
Because you can't let it linger. If it lingers, it's going to become a bad thing.
Or you can't be wishy-washy about it. Well, maybe, even though in my mind I'm like,
no.
Oh,
Not happening.
I'm on the record, and I forever will be. Babies are terrible.
Yeah, it's not fun.
People that pretend babies are
There's
awesome.
Nothing precious about it.
No. First moment you hold them, you're like, wow, this is incredible. And then you wake up an hour later to like a tar poo, and you're like, oh, God, here we go.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then you win again.
Pax was huge. Pax was 10 pounds, 10 ounces.
That's a big baby.
Oh, my Lord.
Look at this thing, man.
Fat-ass baby.
That is a massive baby.
He was born 3 months old. He looked like a little sumo wrestler when he came out.
Did he have a lot of hair, too, when he came out?
He did have some red hair.
Yeah, a lot of hair. Yeah.
Now I know why she divorced you.
Yeah, it's like, that was horrible.
You ruined me.
You gave me a 10-pound baby. You want me to push this thing out? Are you kidding me?
Well, he got stuck. We had to go get him.
Well, you gotta take a turn here, buddy. We gotta corkscrew you. Okay, come on, barrel roll. Get out of there.
There was a female comedian years ago, and she had a really funny bit. I forget who it was, but she had a funny bit. She goes, "I love men. They're so adorable. They're always asking, are you worried? I'm a little big, honey. I've had two kids. You're not bigger than a baby.
No, you're okay. You're not bigger than that." A little worried over there.
10-pound baby going in and out of that.
It's not good. You're not bigger than that.
No.
Nah, not you or me, buddy. We ain't bigger than that, man.
I think she punched it with, "You're a reprieve."
This feels like a walk in the park compared to what I had to do a couple of years ago, man. By the way, completely weird behavior of your neighbor. If you guys don't have a good relationship,
Yeah, she's an interesting person.
That's really weird.
So it started off not great when we moved in. We had a basketball go over in their yard, and asked them for it. They wouldn't answer the door. Then they finally answered the door, and then they didn't want to even check. Then they checked all of a second. Like, nope. So we never ended up getting that ball back.
And you know that the basketball is in their yard.
Yeah.
Yeah, you 100%. Shot the ball, and it bounces over the fence. I know it's over there.
My friend's kid shot the ball, and he doesn't play basketball, so he aired it so bad that it bounced.
Airmailed over there.
No, airballed, bounced, and went over the fence. That's basically what happened. And so it started off a little rocky, and then, you know, time goes on. Everything's fine. I realized we were good when she walked past, because she's a little older than us. She walked past. She saw some roofing tile that was left from the previous owner that we had for like a year.
Just sitting on the side of the house.
And she goes, "Can I have that?" And I said, sure.
Yeah, go for it.
So she took it.
Okay.
Used it for whatever she needed.
Thanks for cleaning it out of my yard. We weren't going to use it, I guess.
I see her every now and then. She does walks.
Yeah.
Largely either watching a telenovela on her phone or she's on the phone and there's just somebody speaking Spanish on speaker. She largely doesn't talk to me, but like she'll do these once in a blue moon. She'll stop and she'll just go, "It's a coyote. Careful. It's a coyote in our neighborhood."
Thank you.
Oh, because I'm walking my dog.
Right.
And I'm like,
"I appreciate the heads up."
Okay.
"Did you see it?"
She goes, "Real big." "All right. Have a good day." And then I'll see her three more times. Yeah. Won't talk to me.
Won't say a word to you.
Which is fine. Whatever.
Yeah, I got no issue with that. Yeah, you want to do you?
Her stopping to tell my wife
that's really weird behavior.
She had a dream that she was pregnant. I don't think she knows my wife's name.
No, that's weird. That would throw me for a loop. You don't tell people
that. She
wasn't
high-fiving.
No.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Not happening. I got scolded by one of my neighbors on the 4th of July. Because we have a weird, like, next-door neighbor who didn't live there for a long time after we moved in. She was having stuff done to the house. She lived somewhere else. So we never saw her for, like, the first 7 months, right? Randomly moves in. And we've done, like, a few in passing, like, "Hi, how you doing?" Like, get to know, you know, trying to very briefly break the ice a little bit. Mm-hmm. But 4th of July, we're out and all the neighbors are, you know, hanging out, talking. It's not you usually do that when you see your neighbors. Usually it's a quick, "Hello, I'm going inside. I got stuff to do."
Yeah.
And then it's like 9:15. We're pushing the limit of Teddy ballgame being up. Like, he'd never really been up that late other than the flying to Hawaii. And so it's like, all right, man, it's time. We gotta go to bed. He's starting to like fall down outside. And so as we're walking in, she drops "Would have been nice to chat with ya." And I'm like, Okay.
Was she talking to you?
No, she was in like a, we were in a pocket conversation with some neighbors. She was in like a separate pocket conversation with other neighbors. And we just said, all right, we got to go put the little guy down. We're heading in. Good night. See everybody later. Happy 4th of July. And as we're walking away, I got one of those. Would have been nice. Would have been nice to chat with you.
I'm so confused.
And I thought, okay.
So she's in a group of people talking.
Yes.
You're in a different group.
Because the whole neighborhood's out. The whole neighborhood's out in the street.
So you're in two different groups.
She wanted some one-on-one FaceTime at length with me for, you know.
Why didn't she just come up and talk to you?
I don't know. I know. This was my exact question and my exact thought.
What did you say back?
I literally didn't say anything. I just kept walking and went inside. I got a two-year-old, man.
Are you sure she was talking to you?
100%. She doubled down the next day. Would have been great to get to know you maybe next time. I'm like, what is there to get to know? We've already said hi. What do you need to know about me? I work. I come home. I got a kid. I'm married. This is my life. Hello, everybody.
I don't know how I would react to this.
I didn't react to it, and I'm just kind of letting it flow off the back right now.
But you're kind of paying for it.
I am going to pay for it, yes.
Yeah, you already have.
Passive-aggressive energy in the neighborhood right now.
You know what you do? You just knock on her door.
Hey, how's it going?
Today, 11 a.m.
What are you doing?
Hey.
What do you do for work?
You wanna help me?
How long you been living here?
And what's your deal?
No, bring Teddy Ball Game with you, though.
Hey, there you go, yeah. You want to come watch him for a little bit?
Are we talking older gal? Older gal?
Older gal, yeah, older gal.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah, bring Teddy Ball Game.
Yeah.
There's just on a walk, thought I'd stop by. I know you've been wanting to chat.
Yeah, the second one I dropped, it's kind of hard to keep things on track when you got a two-year-old. You know, he was up pretty late, and she gave a, I get it. And I'm like, then why are you...
What an odd choice.
It was a very weird... I don't know
who has a more odd neighbor, you or me.
It was a very weird conundrum to be in, and I just walked away. I didn't say anything.
Well, I hope I'm not pregnant. I'll tell you that much.
Fingers crossed, buddy.
Oh, no.
Fingers crossed. I hope we're done throwing up in our household.
Yeah. All we can do is thoughts and prayers. T's and P's to you.
T's and P's out there, everybody.
Well, we got a lot to get to today. Got a fun little show. Got a follow-up on some stuff. I want to start with this. Maybe they should be locked out. Something is really bothering me in sports. I want to talk about it next. Dirt and Sprague, 105.1 The Fan.
Hey, it's Jen Hatmaker. Here's what I've learned in midlife. Joy isn't the reward you earn after all the work is done. Joy is the work. That's what this new series on For the Love is all about. The sacred, yes. It's choosing delight, rest, and pleasure on purpose. Because saying yes to yourself, that's the thing that finally lets you fill your table with everybody else. Come find your sacred yes with me. Follow and listen to For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back in. So when you were out Monday, I did a segment about something that I saw in sports that bothered me tremendously.
Ooh, what's ruffling your feathers?
Well, and now we fast forward to Thursday, and the same thing is bothering me, and this one even more because I'm watching it.
Ah.
So I just listened to a podcast with Jeff Passan a few days back. He did a pod, and he was talking about the lockout.
Yes.
And he's like, there's going to be a lockout.
It's going to happen.
Like, to him, it's not a, I don't know. He's like, it's going to happen. I've talked to enough people. There's too big a gap here. He's like basically saying, I will be stunned, utterly stunned, if there's no lockout.
Nothing like a sport building all this momentum over the last couple of years and take a gun out and shoot yourself in the foot.
Exactly, right? Like, baseball's done a really good job for itself, and they're on a nice run.
Mm-hmm.
I know your baseball team sucks.
Horrible.
They almost got no hit yesterday.
Woohoo!
I'm watching my team, who has also been pretty dog crap for about a month now.
Right.
They've blown a big divisional lead, and we'll see if they can hold on to it. They're playing the Pittsburgh Pirates. You should not care about this game if you're not a Braves or Pirates fan, and I totally get it.
Pirates are at least above 500.
They're at least a funner watch than they have been, maybe as a wild card team,
maybe having a chance.
But on Monday, I talked about Clayton McCullough, the manager of the Marlins.
Okay.
He pulled his pitcher, who went 7 innings, perfect game. They end up winning, but guess what? They blew an 8-run lead.
Come on, man.
And barely won 9-8.
Come on, man.
Last night, I'm watching my Atlanta Braves play the Pittsburgh Pirates, and Pirates pitcher Jared Jones had 6 innings, perfect game.
No base runners.
Nothing. Perfect game, 6 innings.
What's the pitch count?
79. Seventh inning comes up, new pitcher. The report was Jared Jones got wind that he might get pulled.
Oh.
And he started hiding from the manager, jokingly, like, no.
Dude.
He was asked in the post game, and he did the full team thing. It's my fifth start off surgery. The schedule was 5 innings, 80 pitches, whatever comes first. I totally get it. It is what it is. And I know they're going to go into lockout. I cannot believe that we have in the same week two pitchers going that deep with perfect games.
On two different teams.
We're getting pulled because of pitch count.
Right.
Because of precaution.
So did you appreciate Dylan Cease going out for the – he'd thrown like 117 pitches and
– Yes. He tried to go for it in the ninth inning. They broke it up in the ninth inning eventually. Yes. Yeah. This stuff drives me nuts.
There's only been, by the way, like 24 perfect games ever.
Yes.
Yeah.
It you know, from 1901, here's a stat for your ass. 1901 to 2015. Do you know that from 1901 to 2015, no Major League Baseball pitcher had ever been pulled from a game if they were 6 innings perfect and on? They were only pulled after giving up the first hit,
right?
Or the perfect game is ruined.
And then eventually, yeah, if your pitch count's high and you've given up a hit, like, all right, let's lift you out of the ballgame.
Of the 18 outs that Jared Jones faced against my team,
right,
8 of them were strikeouts.
He's just throwing it by everybody. Nobody can touch him, and we're lifting him out of the game.
Because it's his fifth start off of surgery, and they want to make sure his elbow's good.
So that was the Marlins guy or the Pirates guy that was coming off surgery?
It's the Pirates guy. It's his fifth start post-surgery.
Okay. Now, was the Marlins guy coming off surgery? I didn't see that story over the weekend.
They basically are just they're trying to be cautious with
him. I mean, just, like, if you want to give me the surgery example, I still disagree with it. That's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. The kid's arm's not going to fall off. He'll be all right. But that one, at least, we could sit at a table and debate. If there's not a surgery excuse here, his arm is, it feels something loose in his elbow, like nothing along those lines. He's just throwing the ball. He's throwing the ball great. You should be fired as a manager for doing this. to add on top of this, by the way, so no hitters. I mean, literally, you should. It's ridiculous. No hitters became a bit of a, like, yeah, they're happening all the time and we don't really care about them anymore. Like, we've poo-pooed many a no hitter on the show over the last 3 or 4 years. You know how many no hitters we had in Major League Baseball last year?
I don't think we had one last year. If we did,
did we have one? Was it a team one?
Was zero.
Yeah.
There was not a single no hitter in all of Major League Baseball last year. We have one this year. It was a combined one early in the season.
I hate combined no hitters.
I believe it was the Astros.
Combined don't count. I mean, it doesn't count.
They don't hit the same.
From one pitcher throwing a no hitter, we have not had one in over a season and a half, man.
Yeah.
So it's like we went from having one of these, it felt like every month, and we're like, oh, look at that. He no hit the A's. Who cares? I've never heard of that guy before. So we haven't had one in a while. And so, like, having a no hitter would be pretty notable right now in Major League Baseball. It gets people talking. This is the kind of stuff that is just slowly killing baseball. I'm not full Kirk Herbstreit where he's yelling in all caps on social media about home run and launch angle and strikeouts, although certainly it bothers me as a fan watching from time to time. This mentality of robbing fans from seeing something that maybe they will never see again, and the player from having an accomplishment that they might not ever have and likely won't ever have again or have a chance to do, the odds of a pitcher taking a perfect game into the seventh inning of a Major League Baseball game are so minute. They are so slim. I would be willing to bet a large amount of money that neither of these pitchers takes a perfect game into the seventh inning the rest of their career. You could be as good as you want. You know how many times Paul Skeens has done that in his career? Early on, sure. The most dominant pitcher
perfect?
In baseball.
I don't know if he's done it. Has he done
maybe
it?
Maybe once. Maybe he's had a no-hitter into the eighth inning. I don't know about perfect. Like
a perfect game is a little different.
No base runners for 6 innings.
Crazy.
You owe it to the game to see how far. Now, again, the surgery one, like, dude, he hasn't thrown more than 80 pitches in a...
Here's the problem.
Like, all right, fine. I still disagree with it, but fine. If he's healthy and ready to go, and you just got some nerd in the background telling you, well, the third time through the lineup, he gives up. Sit down and shut up and let the guy finish the game.
First of all, do you know who won the game?
Who won the game?
My team.
They came back and won.
3-0, because our pitcher was also dealing.
Having a great game, came back and won.
It blows up in their face because a guy who has 8 strikeouts out of 18 possible outs is pulled just out of precaution. The other part is, how many days do you go between starts?
Four or five or six, depending on the schedule. Okay.
It's his fifth start post-surgery. How many days?
Right. I mean, you're well over a month. You're well over a month.
So, like, you're either ready to play or you're not. I think that's how it boils down to it in sports, right?
After a month, we're still on a minutes restriction. Like, first game back, fine. Like, if you tear your Achilles and you come back, like, I don't want you playing 45 minutes the first game back in an NBA uniform. After a month?
I couldn't believe it. Like, yeah. Swag came in before the show, and he's like, oh, kind of a slow day in sports. Like, yeah, what? There's no World Cup, all the core four outside of baseball. There's nothing going on there.
Right.
I had WNBA and I had a Braves game. I had my sports options. That's if I wanted to, that's all I had.
Right.
So I turned the Brave game on my iPad, and I'm getting some stuff done. And I'm like, God, we got a little bit of a pitcher's duel going on here,
this
man.
This guy's dominating us
right now. We got to about I think it was the fourth inning. I literally was out loud. I was like, dude, this guy, we can't touch him.
No.
And you go to this, you get past the sixth inning. I'm just like, oh my God, I might be watching a perfect game today.
Nope.
Here comes the reliever.
Not even going to try. Not even going to push for it.
It's such a disservice to the history of the game. You can say, well, 2015, that's 11 years. Sprague, a lot should change. Yeah, I agree. We should evolve in a lot of ways. I'm totally open-minded. Where you lose me, though, this is not an area to me that's like analytical. This is, you are terrified of a problem you don't have.
Yes.
Right? Like,
you're just being fearful for no, for.
There's. Yeah. Maybe somebody can text in that I'm wrong on this. I'm not on the assumption there's an analytical advantage for why you pull a guy who has a perfect game either through seven innings or six innings.
Right.
If he's not asking out. And yes. In both instances with the Marlins and yesterday with the Pirates, these are just, we're trying to be cautious. We're worried about the elbow.
Right.
And I'm like,
you're just living in fear, man.
Dude, you completely lose me as a sports fan when you tell me from 1901 to 2015, no pitcher had ever been pulled with a perfect game past the sixth inning.
Nor should they ever be pulled.
They were allowed to try to go get the perfect game.
Yes, and if you give up a hit, the leadoff hitter in the seventh inning, guess what you do? You're worried about his pitch count? Get him out of there. If he doesn't give up a hit, let him see how far he can go. I'll never forget Bruce Bochy letting Tim Lincecum come throw like 140 pitches in San Diego and finish a no-hitter. It wasn't a perfect game.
Why was Dylan Cease allowed to do that yesterday against the Giants? Right, but other guys had it.
Yes.
He didn't have surgery 2 months ago? Like, what are we doing?
Right. And the funny part about the entire thing for me is the idea of a pitch count is just laughable. Like, how many pitches are you throwing in warm-ups? How many pitches do you throw between every inning? Like, this idea that it's like a hard and fast, he's throwing 80 pitches, that's all he can do. Are we counting all the warm-up pitches? Are we counting the pre-inning pitches as he's warming up?
Have we proven, by the way, I'm genuinely asking this.
I'm sure there's analytical numbers.
No, but have we proven that the pitch count with injury stuff is real? Like, is there a set amount of data out there that somebody has read or seen, because I haven't, that says X pitcher averaging 88 pitches is blank percentage
higher,
less likely to be injured than guy who throws? I don't even know what the average pitch count is anymore for pitchers.
It's not very high anymore
because you largely get to the fifth inning and now it's a relief pitching situation, right?
Outside of the time, there's a damn opener for the game too.
Exactly. So like, I'm just asking from an ignorant standpoint. I don't know if they have that because they certainly operate as if they have that. Like statistical data that tells them if you only throw X amount of pitches, you are infinitely more less likely to encounter Tommy John or whatever, UCL, all that stuff.
Yeah, you're a sport that's looking for headlines and ways to cut across. You know what does? No hitters in perfect games. It gets people talking about it. It gets people paying attention to it. And having just so-and-so won 3-2 yesterday is not really a national headline.
How many perfect games have you seen live?
That I've watched.
I was thinking about this yesterday.
So I remember, obviously, Matt Cain threw one. I'll never forget that against the Astros in 2012 for the Giants.
Was that a night game?
It was a night game.
So I wouldn't have seen that one.
They smoked him. They killed him.
I saw David Wells.
Randy Johnson's.
I remember the White Sox one. I was running the board the day. Was it Philip Humber? What was his name?
For the White Sox game.
That's right.
Mariners. I was running the board for that game.
I saw that one live.
Yeah, so I remember that one.
I saw Wells because that was a day game, and I might have missed like an inning, but like I got home and
something you remember forever as a sports fan when you see it and you're watching the game.
And then Randy Johnson, he had one against my team, didn't he? When Randy got it as a Diamondback,
that was his. It was dominant. I remember watching that.
Yeah, he had like 15 strikeouts or something.
Right.
Yeah, you just don't see him very much.
No, you're robbing the player and the fans of something that's historic, and that's the unfortunate part about it.
Real team players, these two guys, because they both have come out and they haven't like gotten super pissed about it.
Dude, we had a situation on our team where Rafael Devers didn't want to leave first base for a pinch runner. That's exactly – look, that was ridiculous because he's fat and he hasn't been playing very good.
Sure.
These pitchers should have done that. Like, I'm taking the mound. I don't. You take me out of the game. You can try to. I'm gonna go stand on the mound with the ball, and
exactly.
I'm gonna make a scene out of this.
I posted a poll question of like, should Clayton McCullough be loudly shamed for pulling a guy with a perfect game? I might do literally the exact same question for what's the Pirates guy's name?
Couldn't tell you.
If your life was on the line, could you tell?
No.
Who the Pirates manager was?
No. God, I haven't known who the manager is since Clint Hurdle was there.
Never would have guessed
a few years ago.
Clint Hurdle's been gone, yeah. This is his second year in Pittsburgh.
The manager?
The manager. He took over last year.
Is it a name we'll know?
No. Well, maybe. I don't know. I don't know the name, but I won't put it past Wagner. No, randomly, no name.
I would just say Dig
Don Kelly.
Don Kelly.
Okay, sure.
Candy ass.
No.
What are you doing?
Little B.
Is that Tom Kelly's son? What are we doing?
I don't know. I don't know what we're doing, but we're ruining things, man.
Stop being candy asses.
Cowards. They're all cowards. Coming up next, we'll dive into a whole range of things, but I want to get to how would you feel or would you be in on doing what this athlete is doing right now? We'll get to that coming up next. 105.1 The Fan.
How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show, How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radnor, along with series co-creator and my friend, Craig Thomas.
Follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back in. Give you an update on one thing that came out in the second hour. Get some college football. Got a lot going on in the sport of college football. We'll talk with Bill Riley, our good friend of Utah football. Coming up at 8:05 a.m.
I heard he's got to get branded with the Monster Energy logo.
Oh, really?
They pull all the broadcasters aside, get the brand out.
Is that how that goes?
Yeah, on a butt cheek. Pull your pants down, Bill.
What would we do if during the interview he just did random, you know, and it's a lot like the Monster Energy drink. It's
see how many times he could drop it,
just, like,
flows it
in
and
like
out
it's
of
a
sentences.
NASCAR driver, yeah. Post race.
You know, I think it's going to be an energetic offense, like after having a couple of Monsters early in the morning. Gets you up, gets you going. What did you just say, Bill?
You know, they got Scally on good deal. You know what else is good deal? Six pack right now.
Yeah, it's only $5.99. Tell them Bill sent you.
I'm going to punt to what I was going to get to here and do something else because I had this on my show sheet and I just saw something during the break. So I wanted to talk about it. Do you know who August Pfluger is?
August Pfluger. I do not.
That's a real name.
Okay.
He is a representative in the 11th District of Texas.
Okay.
Not to get political with you.
Pfluger. Oh, it's spelled like Pflugrad. It starts with a P. It's a PF spelling.
Yeah,
that's a tough one.
PF one.
Okay.
August Pfluger is representative in the state of Texas. You don't really need to know much else.
Okay. What's Mr. Pfluger up to?
Well, yesterday he announced that he is demanding accountability from the WNBA commissioner, Kathy Engelbert, after multiple attacks against Caitlin Clark, a player who is transforming women's sports and inspiring a new generation of young girls to participate in athletics.
Yeah.
I'm putting the league on notice, he writes, that if it keeps letting the violent targeting slide, they could find themselves facing a DOJ, an EEOC crackdown for violating federal civil rights. And he's not alone on this, by the way. He sent out the statement.
No, they got 10 of his colleagues there
got,
to sign the letter.
August Pfluger, yeah. Mark Alford. Okay. You've got Sherry Biggs.
Yeah, oh, Sherry Biggs.
Tim Burchett.
Yeah.
Victor something Spatz.
Okay.
John Rose.
Big John Rose fan.
Pete Sessions.
Yeah.
Marion.
Is he related to Jeff? Is that a brother of Jeff?
I mean, probably.
Is there another Sessions?
Is there anything more Nepo than politics?
No, there's not.
And a few others that I can't read their names. But yeah, they are sending out and they're questioning now the WNBA for the violent attacks on Caitlin Clark.
I would just love to see this actually get to the level of like DOJ testimonies.
How does that look?
And the commissioner of the WNBA, like, what are we doing here, guys? Do you watch the league? No? Okay, see you later.
You should see.
That's all we need to do here. How does this impact voters in Texas?
If
I'm in this guy's district, I'm losing my mind.
If you go to his Twitter account where he put this out, at Rep Pfluger, Pfluger.
There's a lot of interaction on that tweet.
Scroll down and just see how many faces of WNBA players and people are going, you can't name who this person is.
No.
Shut up.
Every time the Caitlin Clark stuff comes up, I joke because I know I'm like a lot of people who don't watch. I mean, we don't watch the league. I'm not, you know, tuning into games every single night. It's nothing, not anything against it. It's just not necessarily my cup of tea day in and day out. And the one thing that will always break through my algorithm every time it happens is Caitlin Clark related. Yeah. And not just necessarily getting fouled. If she hits a game winner and I'm scrolling, guess what's in there? Caitlin Clark hit a game winner. Like, anytime she does an interview, it's in my algorithm because it causes people to react and it elicits an opinion, right? She's a lightning rod in that regard, either for or against. And so this is why I chuckle, is that I see every time somebody who wants to give a take on this, who doesn't watch the league, is just reacting to the same stuff that I have seen. Because all I've seen is like, dude, she's getting punched in the neck. This is ridiculous. And then you talk to people who watch the WA and they're like, well, you know, go watch an Aja Wilson game and the same thing is happening. Hopefully she's playing tonight, by the way, against the Fire. But it's like, it's the same thing. This is not a unique circumstance. It's a pretty physical league. It's a pretty tough league. And she's not the only one that's getting hard fouled. But we react to it because it's in our algorithm and we don't watch the league. And I just would implore politicians to focus on more important topics. I know that won't happen.
Well, I would go as far as like when you said in the last segment, we're talking about managers pulling pitchers because of pitch count and all that stuff. You would fire them.
Yeah, I'm going to vote this guy out of office.
I think people like this, I'm not trying to exaggerate. These people should not be holding office
no.
if this is what is concerning them.
The
Where
only
does
reason,
Caitlin Clark play?
Indiana, Bob. Indiana.
Oh, okay.
Is Indiana and Texas next door to each other?
Yeah, are they close neighbors? What college did she go to? Was it Texas?
I don't believe so. I believe it was Iowa.
That's right, it was Iowa.
Iowa.
Weird. Why, as a representative in the state of Texas?
I mean, we know the answer to that. It's because it's going to generate attention. He's going to get interviews out of it. There are clicks.
Yes,
there are responses. It's a social media. That's the only reason you do this.
You should not hold a job if you're only doing this so you can be retweeted and talked about.
I'm going to go on a podcast and yell about this, and I'm going to yell about this.
And I know. I'm giving the attention. It is exactly what people like them want. That doesn't make it to a point we should just ignore it completely. They should not hold office.
Yeah. I
don't care if you were an F-22 or whatever you were, pilot. Thank you for your service.
Thank you, sir.
Move on.
Why do we need the DOJ looking at the WNBA? I'm not sure if we're aware of this, but we have a decent list of problems that we're facing as a country right now. Relatively long list.
We just had a peace deal expire.
Serious issues. I'd like for gas prices to come down, please. I had to fill up my truck this week. It was incredibly expensive. Like, there's some real issues that we could get to the bottom of. And one of them is not Caitlin Clark got fouled hard.
She's
a big girl. She can handle it.
How many people in the 11th district wrote him, thank you for your courage
on this issue? You know, as a Texan, this is all I think about.
This is all I want
When I scroll on Twitter in the For You tab and I see her getting punched in the throat, all I think about is not will I be able to afford groceries next month.
Yeah.
It is, can we get to the bottom of why the WNBA is allowed to beat the hell out of Caitlin Clark? Thank you for caring about the issues that I care about.
What a waste of time.
It's just absolutely ridiculous.
These people are losers. They're such losers.
The funniest thing is, and this goes both ways, the idea of shutting up and dribbling only matters when it's you that doesn't like the opinion. Because for years it was athletes.
Well, it's usually the athlete,
right,
shut up.
Stick to sports, get out of here.
Allowed to be a
but now we're allowed
host.
To jump into the sports world and dictate what the WNBA can and cannot do with Caitlin Clark.
It's just wild. These people are hosting podcasts now. And climbing the charts and making money in all these different avenues. Insider stock trading.
Griff, 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 baby.
Let me get on Twitter now and tell you that I'm going to have the DOJ start sniffing around Kathy Engelbert if she doesn't clean up this civil rights violation.
Slightly bigger issue for me is Mitch McConnell alive?
Have we found out yet if he's
I
alive?
I don't know if we found out or not. They're trying to release statements, but I don't know.
Scott Jennings said, I talked to him for 20 minutes yesterday.
We got a weekend at Bernie's thing going on with Mitch.
Yeah, a little bit.
Definitely got a weekend at Bernie's.
Found unresponsive. Nobody's seen him since, but don't worry about it. Okay.
He's doing great.
I'll take your word for it, guys. Maybe get to the bottom of that one. And then call the WNBA.
We wonder why stuff sucks. It's because of idiots like this.
It's just wild.
The civil rights violation of Caitlin Clark.
And it goes both ways, too. Do you see we're halting our Lloyd Center project again in Portland?
What do you mean? We're halting it?
Can't start. No, can't
why?
Happen. Come on, man. It's a historic landmark. Are we really going to tear that down?
I had a friend that was like,
what are we going to do with the ice rink?
He goes, should we do one more, like, go around, say goodbye to her?
One more time around?
Dude, no.
The old cow.
I've been there twice in a decade. It's depressing to be in there.
Some
now.
Guy's going to jump out from behind a column and shiv you with a needle. Get out of there, man.
No.
Run the other direction.
Tear down that parking lot. It's
Turn it
terrifying.
Into a haunted house. That would make some money. Now we're talking.
A three-story haunted
Let the
house.
Hobos hang out in the corners, freak you out a little bit. Now we're on to something here.
That's a whole nother level of scary, man. All right, we got a loaded second hour of the radio program. We start with an update on this. And interesting conversations going on around the NBA. I want to start there. We'll get into college football as well. Hour two, Dirt and Sprague on the Fan.
Are you looking for a pro football podcast that doesn't put you to sleep with spreadsheets or insult you with mindless hot takes? Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast with Dan Hanses and Mark Sessler wherever you get your podcasts.